Penguin Random House Audio presents The Obstacle is the Way, The Timeless Art of Turning Trials into Triumph. Written and read for you by Ryan Holiday.
Preface. In the year 170, at night in his tent on the front lines of the war in Germania, Marcus Aurelius, the emperor of the Roman Empire, sat down to write. Or perhaps it was at dawn at the palace in Rome, where he stole a few seconds to himself during the games, ignoring the carnage on the floor of the Colosseum below. The exact location is not important. What matters is that this man, known today as the last of the five good emperors, sat down to write. Not to an audience or for publication, but to himself, for himself. And what he wrote is undoubtedly one of history's most effective formulas for overcoming every negative situation we may encounter in life. A formula for thriving not just in spite of what happens, but because of it. At that moment, he wrote only a paragraph. Only a little of it was original. Almost every thought could, in some form or another, be found in the writings of his mentors and idols. But in a scant 85 words, Marcus Aurelius so clearly defined and articulated a timeless idea that he eclipses the great names of those who came before him. Chrysippus, Zeno, Cleanthes, Ariston, Apollonius, Junius Rusticus, Epictetus, Seneca, Musonius Rufus. It is more than enough for us. As Marcus wrote, our actions may be impeded, but there can be no impeding our intentions or dispositions, because we can accommodate and adapt. The mind adapts and converts to its own purposes the obstacle to our acting. And then he concluded with powerful words destined for maxim. The impediment to action advances action. What stands in the way becomes the way. In Marcus's words are the secrets to an art known as turning obstacles upside down, to act with a reverse clause, so there's always a way out or another route to get where you need to go, so that setbacks or problems are always expected and never permanent, making certain that what impedes us can empower us. Coming from this particular man, these were not idle words. In his own reign of some 19 years, he would experience nearly constant war, a horrific plague, possible infidelity, an attempt at the throne by one of his closest allies, repeated and arduous travel across the empire, from Asia Minor to Syria, Egypt, Greece, and Austria, a rapidly depleting treasury, an incompetent and greedy stepbrother as co-emperor, and on and on and on. And from what we know, he truly saw each and every one of these obstacles as an opportunity to practice some virtue. Patience, courage, humility, resourcefulness, reason, justice, and creativity. The power he held never seemed to go to his head, neither did the stress or burden. He rarely rose to excess or anger, and never to hatred or bitterness. As Matthew Arnold, the essayist, remarked in 1863, in Marcus we find a man who held the highest and most powerful station in the world, and the universal verdict of the people around him was that he proved himself worthy of it. It turns out that the wisdom of that short passage from Marcus Aurelius can be found in others as well, men and women who followed it like he did. In fact, it is a remarkable constant down through the ages. One can trace the thread from those days in the decline and fall of the Roman Empire to the creative outpourings of the Renaissance to the breakthrough of the Enlightenment. It's seen starkly in the pioneer spirit of the American West, the perseverance of the Union cause during the Civil War, and the bustle of the Industrial Revolution. It appeared again in the brave spirit of the leaders of the civil rights movement and stood tall in the prison camps of Vietnam. And today it surges in the DNA of the entrepreneurs of the Silicon Valley. This philosophical approach is the driving force of self-made men and the succor to those in positions with great responsibility or great trouble. On the battlefield or in the boardroom, across oceans and many centuries, members of every group, gender, class, cause, and business have had to confront obstacles and struggle to overcome them, learning to turn those obstacles upside down. That struggle is the one constant in all of their lives. Knowingly or not, each individual was part of an ancient tradition, employing it to navigate the timeless terrain of opportunities and difficulties, trial and triumph. We are the rightful heirs to this tradition. It's our birthright. Whatever we face, we have a choice. Will we be blocked by obstacles, or will we advance through and over them? We might not be emperors, but the world is still constantly testing us. It asks, are you worthy? Can you get past the things that will inevitably fall in your way? Will you stand up and show us what you're made of? Plenty of people have answered this question in the affirmative, and a rarer breed still has shown that they not only have what it takes, but thrive and rally at every such challenge, that the challenge makes them better than if they never faced the adversity at all. Now it's your turn to see if you're one of them, if you'll join their company. This book will show you the way. Introduction. This thing in front of you, this issue, this obstacle, this frustrating, unfortunate, problematic, unexpected problem preventing you from doing what you want to do, that thing you dread or secretly hope will never happen. What if it wasn't so bad? What if embedded inside it or inherent in it were certain benefits, benefits only for you? What would you do? What do you think most people would do? Probably what they've always done and what you're doing right now. Nothing. Let's be honest. Most of us are paralyzed. Whatever our individual goals, most of us sit frozen before the many obstacles that lay ahead of us. We wish it weren't true, but it is. What blocks us is clear. The systemic. Decaying institutions, rising unemployment, skyrocketing costs of education, and technological disruption. The individual. Too short, too old, too scared, too poor, too stressed, no access, no backers, no confidence. How skilled we are at cataloging what holds us back. Every obstacle is unique to each of us, but the responses they elicit are the same. Fear, frustration, confusion, helplessness, depression, anger. You know what you want to do, but it feels like some invisible enemy has you boxed in, holding you down with pillows. You try to get somewhere, but something invariably blocks the path, following and thwarting each move you make. You have just enough freedom to feel like you can move, just enough to feel like it's your fault when you can't seem to follow through or build momentum. We're dissatisfied with our jobs, our relationships, our place in the world. We are trying to get somewhere, but something stands in the way, so we do nothing. We blame our bosses, the economy, our politicians, other people, or we write ourselves off as failures or our goals as impossible, when really only one thing is at fault, our attitude and approach. There have been countless lessons for and about success, but no one ever taught us how to overcome failure, how to think about obstacles, how to treat and triumph over them, and so we are stuck, beset on all sides. Many of us are disoriented, reactive, and torn. We have no idea what to do. On the other hand, not everyone is paralyzed. We watch in awe as some seem to turn those very obstacles, which stymie us, into launching pads for themselves. How do they do that? What's the secret? Even more perplexing, earlier generations faced worse problems with fewer safety nets and fewer tools. They dealt with the same obstacles we have today, plus the ones they worked so hard to try and eliminate for their children and others. And yet, we are still stuck. What do these figures have that we lack? What are we missing? It's simple. A method and framework for understanding, appreciating, and acting upon the obstacles life throws at us. John D. Rockefeller had it. For him, it was cool-headedness and self-discipline. Demosthenes, the great Athenian orator, had it. For him, it was a relentless drive to improve himself through action and practice. Abraham Lincoln had it. For him, it was humility, endurance, and compassionate will. There are other names you'll hear again and again in this audiobook. Ulysses S. Grant, Thomas Edison, Margaret Thatcher, Samuel Zamuri, Amelia Earhart, Erwin Rommel, Dwight D. Eisenhower, Richard Wright, Jack Johnson, Theodore Roosevelt, Steve Jobs, James Stockdale, Laura Ingalls Wilder, Barack Obama. Some of these men and women faced unimaginable horrors, from imprisonment to debilitating illnesses, in addition to day-to-day issues that were no different from ours. They dealt with the same rivalries, political headwinds, drama, resistance, conservatism, breakups, stresses, and economic calamities, or worse. Subjected to these pressures, these individuals were transformed. They were transformed along the lines of what Andy Grove, former CEO of Intel, outlined when he described what happens to businesses in tumultuous times. Quote,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?